We're going to be in Romans 5, if you have a Bible with you, in some form, paper, phone, wherever it might be. I think we're going to get it on the screen as well. Just want to say a big thank you to these guys. I was looking up through an old diary, and it came up that we were here last March. And it's the same Sunday. Wow, incredible. Because I remember it was so sunny, and I went to walk over the field, looking at the fields over there. Yeah, amazing. And again, greetings from the church in Glastonbury, Grace Community Church. We love having these guys over too. It's all genuine stuff. We really do enjoy being around each other, you know. So, Romans 5. And I want to spend a bit of time looking at if you want to title this, you could give it the title, The Much More Gospel. Or, Are You a Blueberry or a Muffin? And for those who might be listening to this, there's a plate with a single blueberry on, and there's a plate with three sumptuous muffins on. I got a bit worried last night because Richard sent me an email saying, just a reminder of the directions, what time we meet and all of that. And the map was on your church website, and I just went along to the podcast bit, and I saw your sermons, and you kind of, all this, it had duration, and it had 00.29, 00.32, 00, I thought, my goodness me, they're 42-second sermons, 32-second sermons, 29. I thought, my Lord, how does he do it? Sorry, it's okay. I think I did listen to somebody, I can't remember when, just to make sure. And you did go over 29 seconds, whoever you are, you really did. Okay, Romans 5. We'll read the whole chapter, actually. I think I'm going to really go from verse 6, but it's good stuff. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand, and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance, character, character, hope. And hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. Now, I wonder if you can help me with this next bit. Whenever you hear the phrase, much more, can you shout yippee? Right, I know, it's cringy, it's cheesy, I know these people who come in there, but, you know, just humour me, okay? When you hear much more, shout yippee.
Yippee!
Well done. Verse 6. For when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've now received the reconciliation. Therefore, just as through one man sin entered the world, and death through sin, and thus death spread to all, because all sinned, for until the law, sin was in the world, but sin is not imputed where there is no law. Nevertheless, death reigned from Adam to Moses, even over those who'd not sinned, according to the likeness of the transgression of Adam, who is a type of him who was to come. But the free gift is not like the offense. For if the one man's offense, through the one man's offense, many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one man, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Now, the gift's not like that which came through the one who sinned, for the judgment which came from one offence resulted in condemnation, but the free gift which came from many offences resulted in justification. For if by the one man's offence death reigned through the one, much more those who receive abundance of grace and of the gift of righteousness will reign in life through the one, Jesus Christ. Therefore, as through one man's offence judgment came to all men, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by the one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offence might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. You are. You're great. Well done. It might sound patronising to say there's a lot of big words in there and all that, but actually it can be tempting to sort of, let's try and sort of get a more popular version, but actually sometimes it's good to grapple with stuff and actually move through with it and just stretch ourselves a bit. So if it all seems a bit wordy, and we could have gone for a simpler version, but actually some of those words wouldn't have the fullness that they're meant to have. Repent and stop being selfish. You sort of, they carry something, but redemption, sanctification, these words, they are worth travelling with and really trying to reach into them. It's a rich passage. We could be here all year with it. But the much more of the gospel is something that I really want us to enjoy and reach into this morning. We have an amazing gospel because we have an amazing God. We have an amazing message. But sometimes, especially if you've been a Christian a while, it can get familiar. Or we can park at a certain kind of truth that we became a Christian by, or a real emphasis that God met us in. You read the Apostle Paul, you read his letters to the churches, he's urging them to really go into the breadth and the height and the depth, to really move into the vastness of this gospel. Rather than just park at maybe a pet theme or a key thing, Paul is exhorting the churches, you know what, I'm praying for you, I'm on my knees, I'm praying for you, I'm praying that the spirit of wisdom and revelation and the knowledge of God may abound to you, I'm praying that you be rooted and grounded in love, I'm praying that your inner man be strengthened by the Spirit, I'm praying, his heart, because the gospel is vast, it's unfathomable, it's immeasurable, it's God. The messenger and the message are one when it comes to the gospel. Jesus is the embodiment of the kingdom, and you can't have the kingdom without Jesus. When I just become a Christian in 1982, and I don't really hear God in these kind of ways, but I had this dream, and the dream was of this giant flower, almost like a daffodil or something, and it sounds really trippy and everything, but I kind of disappeared into this flower head, and as I'm going down, he's from Glastonbury, I know he's there, but as I was going into this flower head, the more I went in, the more incredible it got, the more vast it got, the more beautiful it got, and kind of when I woke up and I kind of wasn't too sure how to pray or whatever, but I just sort of felt, I've got to ask what that means. And I believe it was God, you know, who said, that's the kingdom I brought you into. It's limitless. And the more you go into it, the more incredible it gets. It's endless, and so on. We just dropped our oldest daughter off at Chewton Did she mend it where the reservoir is? Yeah. And she wanted to meet a friend of hers. Her daughter's visiting us. And I remember, it took me about, she's 29 now. And I remember when she was a baby and we went to the seaside and we were really pumped as parents because, you know, you're going to let this baby see the sea. And we got there and we plonked her down. And all she wanted to do was turn her back to the sea and just mess around in the sand. And we were like, we were so looking forward to, wanting to see her reaction to seeing this massive expanse of water, but she just wanted to play, make this little puddle and play there. She was very happy. I know now, if we went to the beach with Lydia at 29, and all she wanted to do was just to sit there and be happy in her own little puddle, I think we may have failed. And sometimes it's like that with God, isn't it? You know, actually, there's the vastness of the gospel that God can call us into, and we might just simply be very happy in our little arena, our little area. And yet there's a whole ocean out there. There's a whole vastness of God. And I just want to mention five much more, if you like, that this passage speaks to us about. We start off in the first few verses, really about the stability of what it is to be a Christian. That if you become a Christian, the stability of God is for you. It's where you live from. Therefore, we have faith, we have peace, and we have access to grace and the Holy Spirit's in us so that we can handle life. And even if things do come, the Holy Spirit's not a disappointment. He'll help you and he's there with you. And Paul starts off from that place. And he's saying, that's what we've come into. And then he wants to sort of open that out and say, well, this is what it actually means to be in that place of stability with God, knowing you're loved by God. He said, now, actually, this is what it means. And this is what we want to look at. So verse 9 says, verse 8, God demonstrates his own love towards us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And if you were to say to some Christians, okay, what's it mean to be a Christian? What's the gospel? They would say, Christ died for your sins. Absolutely. But Paul won't leave it there. He says, much more then, Christ died for your sins. Yippee. Hallelujah. But much more then. Having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And what he's saying is that actually for Paul, he's saying the gospel's much more than having your sins forgiven. It's much more than a clean-up job. It's much more than that. That is wonderful, but it's much more. It's actually saying, not only have your sins been forgiven, but you are actually living under the smile of God now. There's no wrath. There's no condemnation. It's not just that my sins are forgiven and God's not going to punish me. It's much more. You don't live under the frown of God. I hope not. We no longer live with this authority figure that's impossible to please. I'm free from performance mode. He's saying much more. It's much more than having sins forgiven. Although that's really wonderful. It's actually about coming into a relationship with God that's based on peace, acceptance, faith, hope, love, and the indwelling of God himself in the Holy Spirit. Much more then. It's wonderful Christ died for us. But much more. Much more. You're not under condemnation. Much more. You're free from the wrath of God. Much more. The enmity, the thing that was between God and people through Adam, through the fall, that's been taken away. There's no longer any conflict. God isn't angry with humanity. Because God in Christ reconciled the world to himself through his body. The cross was for God first. The blood of Jesus is for God. so that the enmity, the disharmony, the schism, the fracture is removed. And so it says, therefore, we're at peace with God, and we're at peace. If you're at peace with God, you can be at peace with people. It's much more. So that's the first one. Our first much more. I don't know if you kind of grew up on that, grew up in the faith on that acronym. What's grace? God's riches at Christ's expense. Anyone heard that one? Okay. Basic level. Okay. But you know what? You can't reduce life, God's life, to a formula. We try and box him in. Oh, yeah, that's good. That's good formulaic. God's riches at Christ's expense. Yes, very good formula. Well, I'll try and blow it out of water a bit, really. And so I'm not really necessarily going to give you a load of answers today. It's for you to travel with the Holy Spirit. It's for you to travel with this wonderful God and his supreme statement to the universe in becoming flesh and blood and living amongst people and being touchable. It's for us to travel with that and see what opens up and see what God ministers to. I don't want to replace one formula with another one. But we can say that our gospel is much more than being guilt-free. That's our G. And you see where I'm going with this. I'm going to go G-R-A-C-E, so you remember. So it's much more than being guilt-free. It's actually about being received into God's life and the Trinity itself. Okay, secondly, let's look at verse 10 and 11. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son. Okay, we were reconciled. Wonderful. Much more. Number two, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that. Okay, so we started off with being reconciled, but he's saying, actually, there's much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. And not only that, we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we've now received the reconciliation. The gospel is much more than merely being on good terms with God. It's much more than God just having leveled the playing field. It's much more. It's much more than being reconciled. That's wonderful. But he's saying, actually, having been reconciled, you've got life. And if you read further, we are ministers. We are messengers of that reconciliation. We carry in us the fact that we are integrated and whole. If God's come into us, then there's wholeness. W-H-O-L-E-S, there's wholeness. We've received a reconciliation that actually means there's life. Elsewhere, Paul says, count yourselves dead to sin. Yeah, okay. But the most important thing is, but count yourselves alive to God. I can't be dead to sin unless I'm alive to God. Elsewhere, Paul says, all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. The tragedy is not that we sinned. The tragedy is what we fell from, the glory. And if we just major on, well, all have sinned and you need to confess your sin and get your sins forgiven. Yeah, but what is that leading to? Even the cross is meant to lead to the throne. You can't get to the throne without the cross, the power of the cross. But let me cling to the rugged cross isn't really apostolic Christianity. Oh, keep me near the cross, that beautiful rugged cross. Keep me near the cross. No, I've got to be in the power of the cross, absolutely. But God wants, Jesus isn't at the cross. He's on the throne. Amen. And we've been raised up with him, seated with him in heavenly places. So even the cross is meant to lead us into the throne of God. It's meant to lead us to life with God. Much more than having been reconciled, we now have life. We live as reconciled ones. We are receiving his life and living from it. And Christianity, it's about having made peace with God, because God's made peace with us. And so we live from peace. We're not trying to get peace. Big difference, isn't there? We live from the acceptance of God. We're not trying to get God to accept us by how many chapters of the Bible we've read, how much praying we've done, how much money we've put in the contraption, right? We don't live from that place. All those are an expression, they are an overflow of being, of having been accepted. And it's wonderful. It can deliver us from the spiritual treadmill. You know, oh gosh, I said to God, I'm going to read my Bible all the way through this year. And I said it in January. In January the 1st, I started. And where are we at? We're at the end of March. How are you doing? Come on. You're not kept it up, have you? You have. Good girl. I love you even more. No, he doesn't say that. Well, I feel God loves me more because I've been reading my Bible every day. It's all performance. At the end of the day, you're judging God's acceptance of you by if you've been a good girl or not, or a good boy. And God wants us to be good boys and good girls, of course he does. But that's not the basis of the acceptance. I'm a good boy because God's accepted me and loves me. Much more than reconciliation, much more. Now then, so that's the second one. First one, it's much more than being guiltless. Second one, it's much more than being reconciled. Third one, it's much more than what was lost in Adam. Okay? Adam rebelled against God, and what's called the fall took place, and the harmony between humankind and God got shattered. It took a hit. And because of that, Adam was cast out and so on. But the fall was an interruption. Because it says Jesus was always destined to come. He was a lamb slain before the foundation of the world. And Eden wasn't perfect. In nowhere does it say Eden was perfect. So Jesus was always meant to come. He wasn't some patch-up job by God because it went wrong. And so the fall was just merely, it was a blip, a bit of a seismic blip, but nevertheless, in the mind of God, in the purpose of God, it was an interruption. God's goal has always been that we are not only made in his image, but we can be like him. The fall interrupted the capacity to be like God. It didn't change the image. The image got distorted because we took on sin, but actually the capacity to be like God was restored in Jesus, and God can actually move us onto what he originally planned, which is that we would be predestined, conformed to the image of Christ. You with me? I know we're just... And so, much more gospel, it's much more than just getting back what Adam lost. It's actually about getting on track with what God had always planned and God's fullness and completeness taking place. Being able to take place. The cross enables the original purpose of God to go on into its fulfillment. It's not a patch-up job. It's the means, it's the mechanism by which God is able to make us like himself. So, it's much more than what Adam lost. Now then, much more. A blueberry. Who would like a blueberry? Now, I know this is God because this is the church of the cake eaters. I know it. If I did this in Glastonbury, they'd all be cursing this stuff. But the thing is, you see, often we say, oh, well, I'm very happy with the gospel. Oops. Don't come threatening my doctrine. I'm very happy with being forgiven, and I know what I'm worthy of. And me and God, yeah, I'm happy to be forgiven. Yeah, you know, and yeah, and yeah, you know, I'm going to go to heaven, and my sins have been forgiven. Yeah, and I know God's with me. He'll always help me. Yeah, yeah. And we're in blueberry mode. And there's these people screaming out, there's much more. There's much, much more. And sometimes, all illustrations will fall down at some point, but bear with me, right? Sometimes we're just so, well, that's it. And we say, well, actually, blueberries are good for you. And they're juicy things. And it's almost like God's holding up. An absolutely big, stonking provision of muffins that the blueberry's been used for. And so, oh, no, it's not good for you. You don't want to go over the top, do you? You eat those, you'll end up... And yet we miss the extravagance of God. We miss the absolute magnitude of this gospel. You know? Who wants a muffin? I know you've had cake. Are you a muffin Christian? Damson, a blackberry or a muffin? It's a much more. It's a much more that God wants to pull us into. Doesn't want us parking at our favourite doctrines. He doesn't park in it. He wants us in the vastness. It's much more than what Adam lost. Yeah. It's much more. Yeah. It's actually going on to the completion and the fullness. Abraham was looking for the city whose builder and maker is God. What started in a garden was actually meant to end up in a city where God is and the presence of God is and where people are and the dwelling place of God is with people. Okay. It's much more than being guiltless. It's actually about being recipients of his life. It's much more than being reconciled. It's about living from that life of God. It's much more than what Adam lost. It's actually about becoming complete in Christ, which God purposed before he even made Adam and Eve. It's much more than a trade-off. Fourthly, it's much more, I'm going to jump it over a bit, forward a bit into verse 20. 19, in fact. For as by one man's disobedience many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience many will be made righteous. Moreover, the law entered that the offense might abound. But where sin abounded, grace abounded much more, so that as sin reigned in death, even so grace might reign through righteousness to eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. What's all that saying? What it's saying is that the gospel is much more than just simply dealing with sin and sins. Sin and sins. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Absolutely. The abundant provision of righteousness and his grace in Christ Jesus by which you may reign in life. It's a much more. It's much more than a mere exchange. It's much more than just, you know, well, God's balancing the books. We lost a lot in Adam. Jesus has come and he's made it all right. So it's all back to normal now. No. It's kind of way the balance, what Adam had and what Christ comes on. It's like, whoa. Absolute fullness. Immense provision of God's love and power and grace in our lives. It's much more. It's much more than just coping. And if we're honest at times, maybe that's where we're at. That's, you know what? God's with me. God will help me. And we all have those times when we may just feel that that's the best I can do is turn up. We all have those times. But over the course of a life with God, actually God's wanting us to live from much more than a coping outlook. Because Paul says to these, he said, through God's provision, we reign in life. We reign in life. That's a bit more than coping. It doesn't mean that we're untouchable. It doesn't mean that we're not human. It doesn't mean that we don't feel. But somehow, in the midst of life, and one of the songs we were singing, I can't remember which one it was, but it reminded me of an old song, another old song that where it says, in your presence, all our problems disappear. Jesus, we celebrate your victory. Well, actually, in his presence, the problems don't disappear. We've still got to face them. There's one about we soar and it takes us out. Well, it doesn't. God comes in and enables us to live from utter stability in the midst of the storms. And by that, we reign in life. By that, so we're not trying to escape. Any form of spirituality in the name of Christianity that causes us to deny what it is to be human is suspect. Anything that minimizes being human is suspect. God came in flesh so that we can, he says, reign in life. So our gospel is much more than the crutch to help people through, the thing people lean on. It's important, of course, but if we're wanting to move from just playing in the puddle on the beach into actually walking along the beach and looking at the ocean and getting in and God pulls us out, he moves us on into the much more. It's much more than coping. It's much more than having something to get me through. There's a provision, the abundant grace of God, it says, in Christ Jesus, enables us to, well, if you're talking about reigning, you're talking about being with God from his throne, aren't you? That's what that means. It's actually, you're with Jesus where he is now, not in a sentimental land of something else. It's about actually, somehow God is in me and with me where he is now on the throne. It's more than, much more than coping. My sister-in-law lives in Portishead, and I've got another sister-in-law who's in Keynsham, actually used to live in Kingswood. One of my nephews, years ago, we used to go on holiday with my sister-in-law and her boys. And one of my nephews, we went to Cornwall and we were on holiday and we're at a place called Boscastle and I make art and do drawings and things. And Nathan wanted to come out with me, drawing. So we climbed this cliff, sat on the top. I got my sketchbook out and drawing. And I was just really focusing on this kind of lighthouse and this cliff edge thing that was going on and this building, and I'm getting into this detail. And Nathan was sitting, I was looking out this way, and Nathan was sitting with his back against me, leaning on me, drawing that way. And after a while, he said to me, what are you doing, Uncle Tony? I said, would you see that lighthouse there? I'm just sort of drawing that, and I've got this thing coming down here. I said, what are you doing, Nath? He said, show me his drawing. He said, I'm drawing the whole world. And I thought, how beautiful. That's what he said to me. He's on the top, he's looking out, he's like, I'll go for the whole world. And I'm there with his piddly lighthouse and his school building, you know. It's much more. It's much more. Our final one, E. So our first one, it's much more than being guiltless. Our second one, it's much more than being reconciled. Our third one, it's much more than gaining what Adam lost. Third one, it's much more than coping. Our fourth one, and we've hinted at it already. It's much more than a mere exchange. Through one man's sin, through that fall, through that disruption, it was an interruption, through that, sin entered the world. But much more, through one person's obedience, through Jesus' obedience. If a disobedience brought death in such magnitude, how much more will the one's obedience result in life? It's much more than just an exchange. It's much more than being guiltless. It's much more than being reconciled. It's much more than regaining what we've lost. It's much more than being able to cope. It's much more than just an exchange. It says here that by the free gift is not like the offence. For if by the one man's offence many died, much more the grace of God and the gift by the grace of the one, Jesus Christ, abounded to many. Two things there. The much more grace and the gift that comes with it. So every time we let grace have its way in our lives and righteousness, God is reigning. God is having his way. And it says grace reigns, and it says, and we reign. And when those two are happening, the kingdom is happening. God's will is being done. Grace and righteousness are gifts to be received. They're not rewards to be earned. That's what he's saying. One man's obedience, one man not doing it right, ended up in one man giving the gift of grace and righteousness. And so our gospel isn't about us trying to get God to accept us. We simply have to believe, come to Jesus on God's terms. Jesus said, the work of God is to believe. That's all God requires of us. Believe and you'll be in. Believe, put your trust in me and you'll be in. I haven't got to worry about how am I going to keep it up. Suppose I become a Christian. How am I going to keep it up? You don't worry about that. God takes care of that. Grace and righteousness are gifts to be received, not rewards to be earned. Righteousness replaces shame. So we can stand here. If you're a Christian, you are as righteous, as perfect before God as Jesus. You're not substandard version before God. Because God put you in Jesus. So when God looks at you, he sees Jesus. He sees you in Jesus. It's a bold thing to say, but it's true. You can look yourself in the mirror, lift your chin up, take a deep breath, and say, I am free from shame. I am free from shame. I have God's rightness, if you like. And that's what I'm covered with. That's what I am built with. That's where I am. I'm in God's rightness, not in my old wrongness and the shame of that. Grace replaces performance spirituality and causes us to live to God. And if I can live to God, I can trust him that I'll die to the things that I need to be dead to. Blueberry or muffin? I want to offer that there is a muffin gospel. Amen. That's for us. And yeah, I might be able to say, actually, I'm very happy with my blueberry. It's good enough for me. I want to provoke you and challenge you. Amen. Go for the muffin gospel. Go for the much more. Go for the much more. And again, all illustrations for, but the gospel isn't just a whole load of blueberries either. It's not more of what we had. Amen. It's that into something. Amen. That doesn't just feed you. That's why there's three on here. It's for other people. It's not just about me. This abundant gift of provision is for the world, it says. One man's sin brought death into the world, but one man's obedience will bring an abundance of life and grace to the many. And lots of people got hit with that Adam sin, but actually says they're going to be far more hit with life. It's a wonderful gospel. So are you in?
Amen.
Great. Okay. Now then, I just said to Richard, maybe if we could do, I know we've got 3 minutes.
Okay.
Could we just really go for it and pray with each other and pray for that kind of much more spirit?